Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining us today. This is Kelly Barner, Managing Director of Buyers Meeting Point and the Director of Intelligence for Pollenbridge. Today, I would like to welcome back Mark Biljan as my guest. Mark, a career negotiator as well as the author of Mastering High Stakes Negotiations, is joining BMP Radio for a regular podcast series, one that we've welcomed community input on. This discussion will be focused on the importance of trust and respect in negotiations, how to foster them, and signs that they are missing. So first of all, welcome back, Mark, and thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you, Kelly. Thank you for having me back. It's great to be with you again.
So I'm going to start by reading a brief excerpt from your book, and then what I'm going to do is ask you a couple of questions based on feedback that we received via LinkedIn. And thank you, of course, to everybody that shared their thoughts. I will also make sure that there is a link on today's Blog Talk Radio episode page to the actual LinkedIn discussion. We're going to be regularly doing these sessions where we throw out a topic for discussion and get some community response, and then those responses and ideas and additional questions will form the basis for these podcasts. So here's a brief excerpt, and this is what we had shared to start the initial conversation. Trust and respect are two fundamental ingredients for any healthy relationship, including negotiations. Creating this trusted environment with the other party is imperative. Here are some ground rules I review before the start of the meeting. I even ask the counterparty to add any additional ones if he or she would like to create a fair and democratic environment right from the get-go. So here are the four rules. One person speaks at a time. Show mutual respect. We expect to have a constructive, honest dialogue. And check your understanding by asking questions. So that's what we threw out to everyone. And Mark, here's the response that we got, and I'll be interested to get your thoughts on these. So the first question is about the dueling impact of trust and transparency in negotiations. Can you have one without the other? And where do you start?
Yes, Kelly, absolutely. First of all, before I answer this question, I want to thank John, Bertrand, and Sarah as well, for their really nice comments. I really enjoy reading those comments, and I certainly agree with what they had in there. So I thought that was really nice. Before going to just answering your own question, I just want to mention a couple of things about these bullet points just to create some context. Yes, I do use these bullet points in the beginning of the negotiations, mainly to set the stage. And they are carefully selected. You can see in there kind of touching on, respect, openness, communication, efficiency of the communication, and then, of course, the importance of asking questions. One thing I do want to add in here for, the listeners, if they decide to use such things, I found tremendously helpful to use them before the beginning of the negotiations, is to keep it with a handful of, items, and mainly from a dilution of information point of view. The more items you have in there, the more diluted the message gets. So stick with a handful of information. That's why I have four in here as opposed to five. And one thing I do want to mention about this is there is one additional one that I generally add to this as well, and that is for non-face-to-face type of interactions, like a telephone or WebEx or Skype type of meetings. I do add one more in there that I discovered helping smoothing out the communications, and that is literally tabling the fact that it is a non-face-to-face negotiation. I even go into the locations of individuals as to where they are so that, the folks listening know exactly who is dialing from what location, and very often it's in different countries, of course, in some cases. And I even go, you know, one step further, telling everyone, you know, both parties, you know, my team and also, you know, the other side, that because we don't see each other, you know, we will not be able to see our reactions, you know, in a face-to-face, a live motion, and we will be cutting each other off, you know, in the communications right from the get-go, so that, you know, they all know what's coming. No one gets frustrated, you know, if someone speaks over or in some cases cut each other off and so forth, right from the get-go in the communication. And I found that to help tremendously, you know, in non-face-to-face type of discussion. So that would be one that I would add in, but I would certainly not go any more than five, you know, topics as far as setting the stage. So with that, let me answer your question. Yes, I mean, there is no doubt it is very, very difficult to separate, you know, trust from transparency. They're extremely interlaced with one another. You actually had a very nice analogy in your chicken and egg analogy, which is exactly the case. You know, you cannot separate these from one another. They go hand in hand. And so just to explain the question, let me give you, you know, a perspective from both the buyer side and also from the seller's point of view. Now, you know, a buyer, you know, can't build established trust among its suppliers, you know, if during the process, during a, you know, buying process, if the suppliers don't provide adequate transparency, you know, about their offering, whether it's an equipment offering or services offering. So a perfect example, again, you know, one can go into multiple examples, but a perfect one is associated with references. You know, anytime one has a large initiative, a buying initiative, multi-million dollars, throughout the process, as part of the evaluation steps, you know, the buyer always asks the supplier to provide references around, say, the equipment and services that they're offering from some of the other customers that they have provided the services in the past. And this is done for several reasons. It's done just to get a, you know, good comfort level from a buyer's point of view, you know, about the services and the maturity, for example, of the equipment and the services and so forth, but also, you know, from a strategic point of view, you know, getting a deeper understanding as to what other customers, you know, are saying, are talking about their experiences directly from that particular supplier. So when such a communication takes place in the negotiations, you know, it is really important for the supplier to provide this information, you know, as requested. And it is, of course, extremely important, you know, supplier to validate this information. So, you know, once this information is provided, the buyer very often will communicate with these references and try to understand, you know, how things are from an experience point of view. And if a supplier, you know, does not openly provide this information, or and I've seen such cases, if a supplier provides this information, but once the communication takes place, you know, once the buyer calls the other side, calls the reference, if the reference really does not answer, those kind of things are, you know, obviously things that will be working against the transparency. It will create, obviously, doubts in the minds of the buyer as far as the services, and suddenly there's question marks as to, you know, why, you know, this information cannot easily be, provided by the supplier. So there's a perfect example where, references as far as the buying process is concerned is an item that will strengthen and or weaken, you know, the transparency. And often suppliers that will weaken this transparency will be obviously, you know, impacted in the evaluation process. And often it will be, of course, you know, not a beneficial evaluation if, you know, certain things are not, you know, presented to the buyer in a transparent way. So that's one example from the buyer side. And from a seller side, again, one key areas of transparency is tied, you know, directly with the procurement process itself. And what I mean by that is directly related, you know, how transparent is the buyer throughout all its suppliers from a transparency point of view during the, you know, buying process. That is very often will, you know, strengthen the relationship throughout the process between the buyer and the seller and or the sellers or weaken. you know, if there are some parameters associated, you know, with transparency. I think Jeffrey Curry said it really well, and I mentioned that in my book as well. You know, he said concessions must be extracted from adversaries, but they are given by friends. To me, friends, you know, friendship can only be developed throughout the procurement process if buyer is fully transparent, you know, with its suppliers in order to get these concessions, you know, that they want. And to give you, for example, some specific examples what I mean by transparency, you know, and I have seen these kind of things when I was on the selling side. You know, if a supplier throughout an initiative, for example, receives, you know, documentation associated with, you know, communication that has taken place throughout the initiative that they were not part of, they quickly realize that they are maybe not the, you know, supplier that is in the preferred position and or, you know, automatically maybe in the price checking type of a position and so forth. So it's really, really important for, again, buyers to be very clear and transparent throughout the whole process, to be very fair, of course, throughout the whole process, and be very open as far as the communication is concerned with all of their suppliers, you know, to create this, you know, fair and balanced and open environment.
Now, the second question that came up from the points and discussions that we saw online was actually a direct follow-on to that, the procurement perspective on transparency. And this is something that is a huge concern as an increasing number of procurement professionals and organizations attempt to enter a more relationship-oriented, collaborative type environment with their suppliers. So the question is, if we're trying to strategically increase transparency with our suppliers, in other words, sharing more information, being more forthright, how can we be sure that we're doing that without increasing the risk that the wrong piece of information gets to the wrong person or that it has a negative impact on our total leverage and therefore valued outcome of the negotiation?
Yeah, this is a very you know, very, very good question and a pretty tough one, you know, as well. I mean, there is no doubt fundamentally, you know, there is this notion of, you know, knowledge being more of an advantage, leverage, power in the negotiations. We all know that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But having said that, I mean, one can balance transparency without jeopardizing risk. The key parameter to do that, in my mind, is, you know, if it's done in a genuine fashion, and that's the key word here, it has to be done in a genuine fashion throughout the communications with the supplier, then it will build, you know, adequate, you know, environment without impacting, you know, risk from one side to the other. Let me give you, you know, an example to kind of open that up a little bit. Say in a procurement, you know, setting, a buyer is procuring, say, you know, services from, you know, a series of services, indirect procurement world, series of services from multiple, you know, suppliers. Now, generally for these types of negotiations, you know, cost modeling comes into the equation rather quickly. You know, one way the buyers will better understand, you know, the prices offered by various suppliers is to build, you know, cost models, sophisticated cost models with having certain assumptions and so forth. And to better understand, again, you know, the supplier's cost structure, profit centers, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, so that's perfectly normal, you know, to do that. So one way to approach this, you know, in this particular setting, you know, while being transparent and not risking, you know, various positions, is potentially sharing this knowledge with the individual suppliers. Of course, what you're sharing is what you know, what you think you know about that specific supplier, not between the suppliers. And that can be extremely beneficial, you know, throughout the negotiations, because one can, you know, approach these negotiations, you know, without sharing this information, by knowing this information and addressing it in various communication forms and see, you know, what kind of improvements one can make, you know, as far as concessions and improvements and so forth. But if one shares this information with a supplier, literally telling the supplier, this is what I think I know about your cost structure. This is, you know, this is based on what I know about your structure. This is what I have assumed. These are the things that I have assumed are part of your cost structure. Please help me. You know, please educate me as to whether I'm making the right assumptions or wrong assumptions, or whether my, you know, the data that I believe I know about your cost system is correct. So in other words, in a very transparent way, more like an educational way, it very often, you know, helps the suppliers to kind of open up and very often actually, you know, it creates the perfect, you know, environment for the supplier very often to not only educate the customer, you know, about their cost structure, but also alleviate some of the misconceptions and the wrong assumptions, further improving their position. I mean, this is actually goodness for the supplier to go in and educate the customer and fix certain things that ultimately might be actually hurting their position, you know, in the overall evaluation. So that's how that's done. If it's done in a genuine fashion, you know, with an individual supplier, with the context of working together, you know, for the buyer to work together with the supplier to understand their cost structure, and the supplier coming in the role of educating the buyer about their systems and so forth, it does work because it benefits both sides. It helps the supplier to educate the buyer and the buyer to kind of better understand the dynamics. Now, it also makes things very obvious very quick, by the way. You know, in such a conversation, profit centers become very, very quickly obvious, you know, to both sides. And, of course, what is important for the buyer at this point, once these things become obvious, not to go after them very aggressively, but just understanding, you know, these various profit centers and understanding the supplier side as well throughout the negotiations. So here's a perfect example where, you know, you can still have quite a bit of transparency, you know, in the name of educating and in the spirit, in the genuine spirit of communication, while both parties benefiting, the supplier benefiting from this by explaining their position to the customer, and the customer kind of fine-tuning their assumptions, position, hopefully ending up with the best outcome for both sides.
So here's what we're going to do from here, and to sort of reiterate, this is a format that we're intending to repeat going forward on different types of topics related to negotiations, high stakes and otherwise. Although this topics podcast is done and we'll be making it available on demand, the discussion certainly doesn't need to end. As I said, the page is available on Blog Talk Radio, and I will also make sure to link back to the LinkedIn document so that if any new ideas or responses occur to people after listening to our conversation, we can continue the dynamic and keep exchanging thoughts about it going forward. Mark, thank you so much for joining me today.
Same here, Kelly. Thank you very much.
And thank you as well to everyone who has joined us for this BMP Radio podcast. Please feel free to share your comments and feedback on this conversation, as well as to share it with anyone from your network that you feel would benefit from the information. And please enjoy the rest of your day.